Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Expected Buffalo, ExpectedBuffalo.com. He joins us right now. Anthony, it's the first time I get the chance to talk to you here. Thanks again for taking the time to join me this afternoon. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Braden. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Yeah, no problem whatsoever. So the Sabres, through the first three games of this 2021-22 season, have, I think, been a surprising team for many around the hockey world and the NHL. Just in terms of your thoughts, just how surprising has the first three games been in your mind?
Yeah, I try to be a little careful, right? You don't want to glean too much from three games, but I got to say, from an analytics standpoint, they have absolutely dominated pretty much every metric for those first three. So, surprised, yeah, a little. They definitely look like they're in mid-season form for what you would expect from a good team, and you know, certainly not how you'd expect a team that, you know, some people were referring to as a tank roster to begin the year. So, yeah, all good things, and you know, hopefully, you know, we'll see a little bit more in terms of sustainability as we move forward here. But yeah, it's about as well as you could have hoped those first three games would go.
I know that you and Chad DeDominicis do a good job with Expected Buffalo and taking a deeper dive into how the analytics take hold of just how well the Sabres have performed. But certainly when you look at last year compared to this year, it seems like that the style of play, at least on the ice, has carried over really well. You know, the players are playing 100% of the time, taking every shift seriously and so on and so forth. But what exactly to you has stood out the most with what's carried over from the success that they had last year under Granato into this season and even a little bit better?
Well, one of the things, and like you mentioned, right, you saw last year when Granato took over that the Sabres had this kind of influx of energy, right, that they seemed like a different team where, you know, after losing 18 games, I think it was, in a row under Kruger, they started plotting, right, and you just saw them going through the motions where when that change took place behind the bench, you saw a much more energized Sabres team. You're seeing that again now, but it's a little different where it's cleaner, right? And so last year, you know, they were energized, but you still had a lot of the same sloppy passing, failed zone exits, failed zone entries. And this year they've cleaned up a lot of that, where a lot of the passing is very crisp. There's a soundness in the Sabres' positioning on the ice that wasn't there, despite the fact that the effort was there last year. That kind of, let's say, tactical detail wasn't necessarily there, and I think that's a result of Don Granato not only having buy-in from the players, but also having an entire summer to kind of fine-tune his system, right, where he was implementing all these things kind of on the fly last year. And really, it was especially difficult because the Sabres were playing a polar opposite system. So he wasn't just kind of tweaking what Ralph Kruger was doing to try and get them through the end of the year. He threw out the rule book, and they were doing this really high-event style of hockey, and that's tough to do when you're like I said, planning it on the fly. So having a little more time this summer to really formulate his game plan, having a little more time to think about his roster and what he wanted to do, it's shown. I mean, it definitely looks like a different team in terms of how they approach the game, and I'm sure part of that is buy-in, but a big part of it is just, you know, tactical intelligence, and it's really coming through in these first three games.
Anthony Chandra from Expected Buffalo joining us right now on the Western Hotline here on WGR. Anthony, you know, already through three games, I think we've seen a plethora of players already standing out as just looking so much better and improved under Don Granato, or at least taking that next step in their game, whether it's a young guy developing or one of the veterans just all of a sudden blossoming back into form almost, it seems like out of nowhere, like as if they were 22 again. But if there's one player in particular that has especially stood out to you in terms of early season production and just how different they look from last year, who is that one guy?
Oh man, this early on, it's hard to pick just one, but
right.
I think given the circumstances of not only where he's playing positionally, but where how poorly he fared last year overall, I think Tage Thompson is definitely that guy through three games. I mean, he's transitioning from the wing where in the, you know, bits and pieces of the four NHL seasons he's played, he has struggled. He's put together really poor underlying metrics, and even if you want to just look at base scoring stats, he hasn't really moved the needle. Moving him to center now, he looks like a new player, and what's interesting about that is he's with Rasmus Asplund, who is a good analytics player, and Victor Olofsson, who really isn't. So it's interesting to see that transition has taken place so seamlessly with guys who, you know, he doesn't have anyone really carrying his line. He's helping to carry that trio. So if I had to single out one guy who I would say is my biggest surprise and shown the most growth, and again, we're talking about a three-game stint here. We'll see if it you know, sustains. But the way Tage Thompson has taken on a brand new role and just looks like a new player. He's using his body more. You know, he's not – the 6'7" frame isn't just for show. Like last season – yeah, he's 6'7". He looks like a mammoth out there, but he would get blown off the puck really easily. And I think on our podcast yesterday, I said he looked like a weather vane in a windstorm. He's always just kind of spinning around. But now you're seeing a little bit more balance, and he's almost kind of forced to use his body in the center of the ice where, you know, he would kind of stand off on the perimeter last year and just kind of wait to take that slap shot. He doesn't have that option this year. He has to be in the middle, and he has to be kind of directing play. So if it's by force or hard work or a combination of both, he's been kind of an immediate fit in that spot. And he's a guy who I would suggest Sabres fans keep a particular eye on to see how well he continues to seize that role. Because if Tage Thompson is a viable center, even if he's a middle six center, that changes the complexion of what the Sabres can do and what they are doing through their farm system. I mean, he becomes an immediate factor for the future of this team where I think a lot of people, myself included, really kind of had him on the periphery of, you know, examining exciting young players that are coming up through this system.
Yeah, and I'm happy you didn't say somebody like Zemgus Girgensons or Kyle Oposo. Not that I didn't want you to say it, but just I think a lot of people would say, like, oh, man, watching Girgensons and Oposo playing as well as they have right now, both of them are playing point per game or better right now through three games. I mean, where's this fountain of youth all of a sudden coming from? Or is it just the way that Don Granato has everything kind of plotted out where Girgensons and Oposo, along with Cody Eakin, I know that he just injured himself in practice yesterday, but is it something about that trio that all of a sudden has just allowed them to play freely? Or what are you seeing out there that has allowed those Girgensons and Oposo in particular, but I'll throw in Eakin in there as well because we know how badly Eakin has fared analytically in the past, but what is it allows those three to just flourish through three games?
Well, it's interesting, right? So let's turn the clock back 2 years to the beginning of what we call the log line, right? Which was Johan Larson, Zemgus Girgensons, and Kyle Oposo.
Or glow line, as I like to call it.
You like the glow line? I like the log line. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Whatever, you know, whichever you prefer. So
right.
Let's talk about the inception of that line. I believe on the year, their offensive zone start rate was something around 20%, right? And what was crazy about that was their possession rates in the offensive zone were so high, meaning not only were they doing a good job at preventing chances against, they were doing a good job of transitioning the ice and creating a counter rush and sustaining pressure in the opposing zone. If you look at the, and again, it's tough to glean very much from data through three games because, as Chad and I always say, sample size is critical and three games is a nothing sample. But if you're looking at it so far, that line and Oposo in particular, right, they're starting in the offensive zone about 30%, 37% of the time, right? So a little higher rate, but still the lowest on the team. And you're seeing again where they're completely extinguishing chances against, and they're able to flip the ice very well. So I believe that Eakin is he's doing well on his own, right? If you watch him, he's not doing anything egregious that we saw last year. So him just kind of being there and existing and not being a detriment is good enough, because you've got Oposo and Gergensen, who have a history of flourishing with that kind of deployment against, you know, other teams' scoring lines. So I think what you have is you know, guys who are maybe underrated a little bit in transition, who are all really capable of posting strong defensive metrics, you know, Eakin notwithstanding. We'll see how long that lasts. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's the same concept, and you kind of just downgraded in center talent between Larson and Eakin, because I don't think anyone would argue with you that Larson is the superior player. But I believe that Gergensen's and Oposo's respective proficiencies in that area and in that setup are kind of facilitating success from that line.
Anthony Gendre from Expected Buffalo right now on the Western Hotline here on WGR. Anthony, one guy that I really was happy to see produce on Tuesday night was Jeff Skinner with his go-ahead goal in the third period. I think that once Jeff Skinner really starts to get things clicking again and he starts to score goals, I think that it's really going to be an additional boost to the lineup just with his overall production and the way that the type of goals that he can score can really just up the energy level of the team throughout from top to bottom in the lineup. Just how do you believe that he's still capable of getting to a point where maybe he can get back to 30 goals in his career, or where do you see kind of the overall arc point of his career being with the Sabres going forward?
Yeah. So in my Expected Buffalo season preview article, I predicted Jeff Skinner to have 22 goals this year. So like kind of close to that mark you were just mentioning, but here's the thing with Jeff Skinner. His line driving numbers, right, his underlying metrics and his expected goal rates have always been good. And leading up to and including his first year with the Sabres, he was converting at a very high rate, right? I think in that stretch, only two other NHLers, and one of them being Alex Ovechkin, scored at a higher rate at 5-on-5 than Jeff Skinner had, right, in all those years at Carolina and then his first at Buffalo. So that's what earned him a $9 million per year contract. That finishing rate dropped right off a cliff in the second year of that deal, and then again last season. So there's definitely concern that some of that finishing ability has dwindled, whether it be with age, a confidence thing, but we're going on two seasons now of him finishing at a low rate, and that's not good for a player like Jeff Skinner, who on top of the fact that he posts good underlying metrics and he gets in good position and he's got a high expected goal rate, especially individually, if he's not putting him away, well, it looks like he's struggling then. So while he's having positive impacts, and I think he's had positive impacts on his lines, even when he wasn't scoring, you pay Jeff Skinner to score goals, right? And so if he can regain that finishing ability, great. But the part of the thing about that gives me a little bit of pause and maybe makes me apprehensive to believe that could happen is that we're on 2 years of it just kind of disappearing, and I hope he regains it back. It would be really nice, but man, he gets himself in such advantageous shooting positions and he does so much on offense that the lack of tangible goal scoring is a concern, and it's taking away his biggest weapon. So ideally, yeah, if he could regain that, nothing about how he plays the game with the puck right prior to the shot has changed. He's still the same guy. The metrics indicate he's doing the same things. It's just he's not finishing, and that's a problem, right? So, you know, like you said, could he get to 30 goals again? Yeah, of course, if they start getting buried. And like I said, it's not that he's other parts of his game you can tell are experiencing some kind of age regression. It's just not the case. He's simply just not scoring. And so, yeah, I mean, it would be a huge boon to the Sabres top six if that changed and he could get back to even halfway to where he once was.
Last thing I'll ask you here, Anthony, before I let you go, I mean, we could talk plenty more about the Sabres, but for time's sake, what more do you have to see from this team overall in order for them to expect to continue to carry this sort of success and put themselves in a position where maybe they aren't going to be a contender for the playoffs this year, but at least put themselves in an upward progression where this team isn't going to have to worry about being near the basement of the standings anymore in another few years?
Yeah, one of the things about this group that I talked about a lot this summer is the improvement on defense, right? And they kind of revamped that core, and some of it was addition, and some of it was addition by subtraction. And everyone, you know, who knows me kind of knows my feeling on Rasmus Ristolainen, that him going away is as big of an add for this team as, you know, what we got in return for him via trade. So I think the defense itself has done a really great job. I believe in terms of league average, they are allowing like a ridiculous 45% fewer expected goals against at even strength than the rest of the league, or league average rather. So, I mean, they're just absolutely doing a phenomenal job. All three defensive pairings, and that's Darlene Butcher, Bryson Miller, and Haig Pezic, all three of them have over a 60% expected goal share on the year. And again, that's a byproduct and partially, you know, a contribution to just the Sabres' utter analytical dominance through these first three games. But they've been a big part of that. So I'm excited to see if the defense can maintain that level of success in extinguishing chances against while the team itself and primarily the forwards maintain this kind of high energy, high event approach. Because what you saw last season when Granato took over is, yeah, they were really high energy, they were aggressive forechecking, but they were getting absolutely slaughtered on defense. Now you have a almost totally renovated defensive core, and they're not big names. They weren't flashy names that they added, but as a group, they're doing a great job of further facilitating that offensive rush because they're being so responsible and competent on the back end. So that, if that can maintain, right, if they can continue to be even just remotely consistent in doing that this year, they're going to win more games than you expect, because when that Granato system is out flying on offense and you've got more speed guys this year who are able to kind of facilitate a counter rush, it creates really competent and you know, a high expected goal share type of hockey from the Sabres. So if they can maintain that on some semblance of a consistent basis, they could be surprising. I'm not saying a playoff team, but they could definitely surpass some of the, you know, mid-60s to low-70s point projections that we were seeing early in the year.
You can follow Anthony on Twitter at expectedbyanth, and also check him out at expectedbuffalo.com. Him and Chad.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.